Hello and welcome back to Putting Town Centres First, a new podcast by the Heritage Council. I'm Alison Harvey and I will be interviewing our guests throughout the series on the need for innovative and collaborative responses and solutions to enhancing and regenerating our historic town centres. In this episode, I speak to Sarah Sherlock from the Society of Charter Surveyors Ireland. Sarah shares with us a bit about her background, her interest in towns, the idea of a one single source of geospatial truth for the whole of the country, and future-proofing our spatial data for the generations to come. Sarah also talks to us about the importance of 3D modelling and how it's the way forward for town planning and town centre management. I really enjoyed talking to Sarah. Her ideas are fab. This is a really interesting one. Looking forward to hearing what you think. Please enjoy Sarah Sherlock. Hello, folks. Today we are talking with Sarah Sherlock from the Society of Charter Surveyors of Ireland. Hello, Sarah. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Hi, Ali. Thanks very much.
You're a surveyor. You're the chairperson of the Geomatics Group with the SCSI. Could you just tell our listeners a wee bit about your background, your experience? Like, what is your story?
Thanks for having me today. I'm a chartered geomatics surveyor, and some people might ask, what's that? Well, traditionally, geomatics was known and still is by many as land surveying. TU changed the course name from geomatics to geographic science. So who knows what will be called going forward. And geomatics is all about collecting, processing, managing locational or spatial information to produce maps, mapping, as-builts, and more recently, 3D models and the likes. It really is very interesting because everything starts somewhere. So here I am. A little bit more about my own background. I spent 17 years in the Defence Forces. I started out as an apprentice in the Armoured Apprentice School in Davoy Barracks in Naas. I would have worked in the maintenance engineering section for a while. I've quite a varied background, but anyway, my current specialism is in legal mapping and boundary surveying.
Wow.
That brings me neatly to where I am here today, involved in the society with their boundaries working group and the international land measurement standards.
Very good, Sarah. So you have a very varied background, hugely sort of, you've seen a lot, you've done a lot, obviously, and you've worked in such different sectors. So in terms of your interest in heritage-led town centre regeneration and this podcast, how did you get involved in the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check programme?
Well, I was following the CTCHC programme and its many guises, and I suppose everything, like what I said above, everything starts somewhere. So I reached out during COVID because I've seen a lot of, to be honest, I think COVID has been good for this only, I will say, insofar as it has enabled people to come together and probably voice their concerns. And it has seen us realising that the centre of Ireland is actually not Dublin, and that our town centres have a really viable and important role in this recovery. It's where an awful lot of people fled to during COVID. So we have to take our town centres seriously and make sure that they're fit for purpose going forward. So that's where I my interest started out. My interest regarding heritage-led regeneration and heritage goes right back to being a kid. I've always loved growing up in the country, looking at things around me, getting my head around, how did they come to pass? I'm a country bumpkin through and through. In 2008, I attended UCD and studied on the MUBC course, which looked at urban and building conservation in a structured manner. It was around that time I was doing quite a lot of driving, and I regularly drove through the town of Mount Mellick. I never understood, and I still don't, why, or indeed how, a town once described as the Manchester of Ireland could possibly exist quite vacant on its main streets, why these properties were not being used. There's many remnants of prosperity all around the town, yet save for a few key businesses, the town is very quiet and nothing to the scale of an industrial city like Manchester. So I've often struggled with wondering, how was it ever, what did it look like?
Yeah, where's the comparison coming from? Yeah,
absolutely. So the vacancy along the main thoroughfare made me curious. It's no different to many other towns, though, to be honest, Ali. And to be honest, I think it's a shame to see dereliction, abandonment, and especially so when we all know there's much better possibilities there to be had for us all. Back to the first thing, everything starts somewhere. So I do ask myself, where are our town models? Why don't we have them? Where is our national spatial data set to address these issues? Yes, we have fabulous authoritative data and administrative data sets, but these are not going to give us the level of detail that we need to tackle these problems, to understand where the problems actually exist. How are we going to address them? They're fine for high level overviews, but they do not drill down and understand each of the places for what they are. These towns, and I will say our villages too, mean everything to the people living there. So we need systems and structures and policies in place where they can all actively participate in their shared futures. It is their towns that we're talking about after all.
I think that's the key to, you know, Sarah, because the policy really hasn't kept up, you know, with what the issues are, as you say, about sort of vacancy and abandonment and stuff like that. So in relation to national policy gaps, I mean, obviously your sort of background as a surveyor, as an expert in surveying and mapping, what do you think in terms of surveying, what do you think is the most important thing to do? Like what do we need to do to establish better systems, as you're saying?
We're very lucky in Ireland because we have the Ordnance Survey and it's our national mapping agency for Ireland. In 2014, it launched Prime 2, and that's a very rich spatial data set with lots of opportunities. However, its struggles lie in having it adapted by all users and all stakeholders, so we as a nation may lay the foundations for quality spatial data for many generations to come. Like, we have a good framework, but, you know, not everybody's using it the way that it needs to be. It's my opinion that no matter who leads on this going forward, be it state or otherwise, they must have state buy-in from the very outset for it to work. There will be nothing worse than having another cog in the wheel that does not need to be. The public sector has Geo-Governance 2019 to 2023 to support the implementation of public service data strategy. And geospatial information is in there. But in the UK, they've set up a geospatial commission a few years back to consider this and to consider it much more thoroughly. Perhaps we need to at least discuss that idea here and bring all key stakeholders to the table together so they can discuss. Like, take, for example, any of the rural regeneration funding set of calls that we've had. These, in my own honest opinion, should have a strict spatial data policy to ensure that the spatial data captured is done so in a particular manner and handed over to a central repository when it's collated. You know, we don't have a central repository to handle our spatial data sets in Ireland. We have a wealth of streetscapes captured in many forms, yet no one single repository for them all. This needs to change. We can't keep recreating data for the sake of recreating data.
Yeah, I think that's it. There needs to be better coordination, doesn't there? You know, I mean, we've all been talking in the podcast series about collaboration, but I mean, those kind of systems, those modern systems, like we need them because we don't have them at the minute, and we're not sort of like driving on with change because we're sort of a wee bit stuck, I think. In terms of the European Commission then, I mean, obviously there's a drive, you know, the recent statement by Ursula von der Leyen in terms of digital data. We were all quite sort of hopeful and inspired by that address in September. So like in terms of Ireland's geospatial data policy databases that you're talking about there, you know, like who should be leading on this and what needs to happen, Sarah, in your opinion?
I think we need maturity and leadership around our spatial data. So we have one single source of geospatial truth for the whole of the country. We must work from the bottom up and from the top down to make sure that all the data gaps are filled in. The technology, the skills and the expertise are all here. But I suppose, on the other hand, it's not fair to say that nothing's happening either. It might be fair to say that the pace of change, and especially so since COVID, is not where we need to be, and we can all see this. So let's not forget all that's really good and all the great things that we do actually have. We do have a very good national data set. There are some fantastic private sector players out there doing really amazing things. What we need is a formal footing that brings together these key stakeholders to the table together so they can have a mature conversation around our spatial data set, the one that we need to future-proof our spatial data for the generations to come. It needs to consider the past, the present spatial data, and be sure that it's gathered in a precise and particular manner going forward that it serves us all. Personally, I believe that EA Games and Epic Games and all of those gaming companies have stoked this fire already. Today's children are there using City Skylines, Minecraft and the rest. My own child, I know he looked at me in disbelief when I gave him a photo of a building that had burnt down. He looked at me and he asked me, "How am I supposed to know where that is, Mom? Show me the model." This is where we're going. Our children are asking for this stuff already. So this is what we need to put. These structures, these policies, procedures, that all needs to go in place because these children are immersed in virtual worlds and all of the rest. We need to bring them, otherwise they're going to fall off a cliff edge.
Absolutely. There's going to be a bit of a sort of mismatch, isn't there? You know, and how do you think the European Commission can support that transformation that you're talking about, that sort of cultural shift?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. We have the INSPIRE directive, which was established as an infrastructure for spatial data information in Europe to support community environmental policies. And policies are activities which have an impact on the environment. So that was done in 2007. Whatever we do, we should do it that it's complementary to this. So the challenge really is for our nation, for us as a nation, to fully implement it right across the board and at all levels. Geospatial data is a key enabler for evidence-based decision-making. And according to the United Nations experts on global geospatial information management, it's not just for mapping and visualization. It's to be used for integrating other data sources, to run analytics, modeling, and much more. The role of our authoritative in geospatial data is to provide the means to organize and to deliver the answers to our national and global challenges. That's what we need. We need to start thinking bigger and getting it that we need to get this right, Ali.
That's it. And like, we need to embrace the next era, you know, and sort of move forward. If it's a leapfrog, you know, even better, because as we've talked about in the CTCHC program, you know, it seems to be there is no policy for town centres. We're only dealing with a policy for retail, which is one land use. So, you know, you're talking about the data there and how it's gathered, how it's mapped, the collaboration on our built environment. You know, we need to build that as well, don't we? How do you think that should be supported? It's not easy to do in Ireland at the minute. What should be done to support this, the new system that you're sort of talking about there?
Well, I just think, Ali, we're a very young nation, and with age comes maturity and appreciation. So the built environment is a moving beast with many stakeholders, multi-user demands. So what we need and what we're seeking, it's not an easy thing to give anybody, you know. It's a work in progress, and for that reason it has to be done collaboratively together. And you know, it need, there's multi-users with each with their own individual stakeholder that we all have to consider. But as a geomatic surveyor, and that's the geomatic surveyor coming out of me, to me, I think we must consider the place and the space to make any sense of it all. We must create a robust geospatial framework that locates, defines and supports all other stakeholders so they can do what they need to do. Like, why is it that I can't just go into a user interface and pull down a plan of my local area and be sure that that's the right one and that it opens up in the same format that I can bring it into my GIS or my CAD? You know, that sometimes can be quite a convoluted process. And I'm not sure if you took 10 or 15 people from around the country, all 10 or 15 would do it in the same way. So we need to start creating policies, systems, procedures to make sure that there's consistency. That's what we need. And then I keep saying this, geography and location are key to getting this right moving forward. It'll be the glue that keeps the whole lot together.
Yeah.
Perhaps we need to consider a resurvey of the country as well. So our authoritative data exists at the scale stipulated in the Planning and Development Code. Currently, a scale of 1 to 500 is specified for site plans and 1 to 200 for all others. But at the moment, if I pull down authoritative data, I'm getting it at a scale of 1 to 1,000. So, you know, as I understand it, rumblings were that it would happen after Prime 2 was fully rolled out. But I think that's what we need to be thinking about. We need to be thinking about getting down to that level of detail. So when I create a topographical survey of my site and I overlay it on a scale of one, like on my OSI mapping, that I'm not getting a question, why don't these lines line up?
Sure. Yeah.
I think the time has that we need to go back and address some of what we're doing to improve it and bring it along to the next stage.
Yeah, and I think that's exciting, actually, isn't it? You know, if we're talking about digital platforms and data centers or whatever, online databases, hopefully next year, 2021, we can get stuck into that in the program, because we have all this data now gathered and we need to obviously distribute it and store it and share it and then also compare to other countries in Europe. So in terms of the structures, we obviously talk, you know, the practitioners that are involved in this podcast series, in terms of the structures that are needed, you know, Scotland has a built environment forum Scotland. Does Ireland need some kind of built environment futures Ireland? Like, you and I have talked about this before, looking at Scotland and thinking, okay, they have that, we don't have it. Like, what do you think we actually need to bring everyone together?
Well, I do believe that what we do today must have the future in mind. And if we do not think of that, we're not thinking properly. So on that note, yes, I do believe that we need a built environment futures Ireland. But I also think that we need to be careful and not just limit, like it shouldn't be limited or blinkered. We need to consider the environment around that as well, you know. We don't want to just look at the built environment at the expense of the natural environment. We need to be able to bring these together. And to do that, I think geospatial information is a great way to do it, because when do you leave the village? When do you leave the town? You know, the map keeps extending and it goes on to the next town.
Absolutely. And you get that conversation, don't you? Whereas if you don't have data and it's not mapped, there's no conversation. I think that's really what we're finding with this program. You know, people can start to sort of move into a space where they're talking about, okay, what is actually needed here based on what we've got and what we've surveyed. So, I mean, I would very much agree with you. You know, we need to sort of look to see what other countries have in terms of their structures, and then seeing how does that fit for an Irish context, not to have it sort of completely copied, because we do need to adjust it for our own culture and our own society.
But I also think, Ali, it would be good for us to start thinking about longer term views, because when we do local area plans, they're only for a short time. But where is the bigger vision? The one for the 20 years, the 25 years? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We need to start thinking bigger, bolder.
And involve people. I mean, that's the whole thing about, you know, bringing in the civic groups and stuff. And obviously we do that through the programme, and really bringing in the community and community engagement. I mean, the whole thing about our town centres is we can't do it. The public sector can't do it alone. It's just not going to work that way.
Absolutely. But for that to happen, I think we need a cultural mind shift that thinks for the longer term and delivers for us all.
I think you're right. You've raised some really important issues there. In terms of the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check Programme, phase two, we're looking to support town and building renewal in the town centres, you know, based on the information that we've gathered in phase one, which is the creation of the baseline. So you and I have been sort of working on a draft methodology for how to do a building survey. You've been great in terms of like leading on that. Do you want to just tell us a bit about what you've been doing, Sarah?
Ali, this is most interesting, really. It's exciting. And to the best of my knowledge, it hasn't really been done before in the country, you know. So although I will say that I looked at some of the material from the Land Development Agency recently, and I was really heartened by that. They're creating base map interfaces and methods to query information that we haven't had in the public domain up until recently with these. So these guys are doing quite exciting stuff. I love it. I think it's where we need to be. And I think we need to think about expanding out on it. It's great. It's hoped that in time we will develop out a cogent framework and methodology for assessing our town centres so all stakeholders can have their information platformed and considered. It's my belief that we do public consultation in Ireland. However, it's more akin to you have a chance to say something once, job done, and move on. We need to participate. We need to enable people, give them structures that they can come to the table, have their say, and make a reasoned discussion that it can be talked about maturely. And it actually, it's really, really interesting to see how much public appetite there is for this, Ali. I believe that it will create fantastic visibility on what lies where and what we need to focus on to bring the life back into our high streets and into our town centres. I think it's a really exciting time for our towns and villages.
Yeah, and I mean, we are creating all of this because, as you say, it's not in place. And it's great to hear about the Land Development Agency, because obviously, you know, if we can create synergies for our town centres and the people who are, you know, driving this forward, that can only be a good thing. I mean, we have 15 towns in the programme, as you know, and most of those towns have got a baseline done. And then we also have 18 towns on a waiting list. So, you know, we do need to get these methodologies in place as quickly as possible, because the demand for this programme is just immense. So thank you very much for all the work that you've been doing on the building survey methodology. Hopefully we will have that out in the public in January, in the new year. So it'd be a nice present for our town centres, you know, to sort of show that this is what we can do for phase two. But yeah, I mean, it is, as you say, it's very, very exciting. Then in terms of, I know you and I have spoken a lot over the last few months about 3D modelling, which is something that you feel really passionate about. And again, you know, 2021 is an opportunity for that building survey methodology, and also for going into that sort of digital age that we talked about earlier on in the podcast. The 3D modelling, it's just so important, isn't it? You feel it's really important for engagement, for public participation. Do you just want to say about, you know, what Ireland should be doing there? What should we be looking at?
It's my own honest opinion that we don't have a choice other than to embrace it and start using it, because it's been the elephant in the room here for quite a number of years now, not just in Ireland, but in other places as well. Today, as I said before, today's children are born into a digitally immersive world where they just get AR, VR, 3D, and all the other Ds that come with it. So it's incumbent on us to create the structures that they need to continue this. if we don't, they're going to fall off a cliff edge when it comes to, say, for example, transacting property and the likes, if any of them are fortunate enough to be able to do that, that is now, where they're we're going to refer them back to 2D paper plan copies of folio file plans and deed maps. I don't see a whole lot of tolerance for that now, to be honest.
I know that's gonna be absolutely bonkers.
I think there'll be many children coming back saying, were you asleep or what in 2020? You know, and there's aspirations for e-conveyancing and speeding up the conveyance process all over.
Yeah.
So for this to happen, we need to put the systems, the policies, the structures in place so that can realise and give people what they want. Like, there's other parts of the world, they're talking about transacting property in less than 3 days. I'm aware that there are people here voicing discourse that it can take any one of a number of weeks, and they're upset.
Yeah, I think it'd be absolutely magic to see a town, you know, in 3D, a town centre. And I know you and I have been sort of trying to do it this year, you know, in this quarter, but we've actually run out of time because we've got so much else on with the methodology and stuff, and all the towns wanting to come into the programme. So the 3D modelling is definitely something that you and I think are going to hit the ground rolling with in January. And to look at those towns in the programme and do that 3D modelling, and also all the links, you know, as you say, the sort of synergies with conveyancing, but also like for directives that are coming for building passports, you know, we can look at the materials that are in those buildings, and we can also look at the sort of cultural stories. I think it was Roisin Nicole who said to us to definitely bring in the cultural stories of the buildings and the town centres. You know, so it's important that we have that layer as well. And really what the methodology looks at is the different sort of layers.
Ali, we here have been using BIM for a number of years, which is building information model. So, you know, when we are designing new builds for areas, they can sit into these models and we know what they look like.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is just the next step. It's an inevitable, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about the maps and stuff, you know, when you look at a piece of paper, and basically what it means is that we don't think of our town centres in 3D. You know, we have this obsession with just sort of thinking of our town centres that it's the ground floor, when we know that there's the upper floors and most of them are actually empty. I think that would help enormously. Do you?
Well, as a surveyor, I've always struggled with town centre zoning, you know, where you see commercial and you're sitting there saying, my goodness, it might be commercial on the ground floor, but there's actually people living above, you know, and that's not captured. Where do we capture that? That has to be captured in the other dimension, the one that we're not showing at the moment.
I know.
So, you know, this has to be done, you know, and I think it's a very difficult job for planners to know how to work with these buildings when they actually have multi-uses, multi-purposes, and they're not being given and empowered with the information that they need to make good decisions going forward, because there's people living there that they have to provide for, but they might not know about it because they're given flat 2D drawings.
I know, and it's not very exciting either, actually, is it? You know, if you want to be passionate about something, you want to have the information, you want to be doing something new so that you create change yourself and your sector. I mean, if we look at some town centres, we know from the ownership patterns that possibly it's turning out that the upper floors are owned by somebody different to the person who owns the shop or the unit on the ground floor, you know, so the ownership pattern is rich and complex, and I think 3D modelling would help to show that as well. And you can't show that in a map.
Well, I don't think you can, because there's so many things, like you might want to query certain areas, you know, and to do all that in an Excel spreadsheet or to do that manually, it's tiring and cumbersome. It doesn't need to be like that.
Yeah, and I don't think it's the right way, is it? You know, we need to do things in the right way, as you're saying, and maybe as well get the children involved, get the kids involved, and get them sort of doing our 3D modelling of our town centres. You know, that engagement to me is really exciting. The potential.
I think it'd be really exciting to see some of them playing, instead of playing Fortnite or whatever they're playing, to let them play in their towns and see what they do to them, you know. That might actually be interesting.
That'd be so good, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It would, yeah.
Bring it into the schools. Okay, so I mean, we're just talking about trying to, you know, transform and modernise really the systems that we have. So in terms of the public sector and local authorities, how do we support them and work with them? Obviously, there's a growing group of us in a community that are trying to help our town centres. How do we help people move into the digital era? The European Commission are pushing for it.
Well, I think it's a difficult question, Ali, because, you know, some of the answers to this doesn't lie at local authority level. It's well above them, you know, because the problem is a national problem. So the solution needs to be a national solution. Otherwise, we're going to end up with a whole lot of vernacular adaptations cropping up all around the country. And, you know, that's certainly not what we need for baselining information. This needs to be joined up, seamless, consistent, and throughout the country, for the whole of the country, you know?
Okay, so the Town Centre First policy, you think that that, obviously, there's a role there for everything that you've been saying today, yeah?
Absolutely, I do, because, you know, you need the information, the spatial information, to show people where you're talking about in the town centres, where the town centres are. With modern GIS, all this stuff is so much more visible, so much more usable. That's where we're going. Our young are doing it already. They expect it. We need to be there. We need to be bringing this forward as a nation.
That's fabulous, Sarah, because, I mean, as you know, we have the data, and it's how do we present the data and make it, you know, useful, make it of public value. And sort of drive that on. You know, the OECD is also saying, you know, that Ireland needs to be more data driven. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, definitely January, February, let's see what we can do, and hopefully we can keep our listeners up to speed and up to date on what we're trying to do with the phase two of the programme.
I can tell you for a fact, there's absolutely no shortage of remarkable GIS professionals that would make any town or village dance given half a chance.
Absolutely.
If they were supported with the information.
Yeah, you know? So. Very good. We should talk to that network. Okay, thank you very much, Sarah. That was absolutely enlightening and fascinating. And I always love talking to you because your ideas are so important, because we have to move forward, and we have to move forward so quickly, because I think maybe we've been a wee bit too slow in the last 10 years or so with our information on our town centres. I'm going to ask all the speakers this in the podcast series, right? It's a question that is the common question throughout. So if you could do one thing, just, you know, the most important thing for you, if you could do one thing, what would you do for town centres?
I would say back to basics, get the policy, the standards and the education right. And then we're on a winner. I think we need to embrace our town centres and stop living a fallacy that they must be new to sparkle, or it must be a new development to sparkle. It doesn't need to be. That's a fallacy. Our town centres are beautiful. They don't need unnecessary vanity projects to make any of them great. We need to equip and empower the communities so they can participate and work with our local authorities to achieve much better things. Think about it. The knowledge, the understanding that we actually need and must harness and tap into are in these town centres. So let's bring this together and move forward as one. We need to generate multi-use platforms to harness this engagement so no one gets left behind. I also think that we need to engage our children in today's place making. They live in these towns too, yet rarely we ever permit their views to be heard in a formal manner. That's wrong, because their say is equally important. It's their town, their future, and their home too.
Thank you, Sarah. That was wonderful. We have an exciting year ahead, I think, once we all get a wee rest at Christmas. So thank you very much for all those ideas. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Ali.
Thanks again to Sarah Sherlock for that really interesting and enlightening interview. It's great to see some trends coming through in the podcasts and the interviews so far. Mostly about the need for adaptation and the need to embrace new technologies. That seems to be a really big one for us. And Sarah has really highlighted this, and also the need for the creation of 3D models, 3D modeling for our town centres and for town planning. Again, thank you for all your listens, likes and shares on this podcast so far. It's much appreciated and so helpful for us as we try to get this message about supporting our town centres out there. Follow the Heritage Council on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. And please get involved in the conversation about supporting our town centres. And subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss our new episode. Thanks for listening.